Mr. Charlie Gunn, Real One. Mr. Gunn, could you tell us when and where were you born?
Well, I was born in Singapore in the year 1919.
Where did you receive your education?
My primary years, I went to Gan Eng Seng School for my primary education. And then from there, for my secondary education, I went to Raffles Institution. And of course, there was a sort of a break in my education. I would say there was a loss of interest in continuing my education, and so I worked just before the war broke out. I worked in the Ministry of, or rather in those days known as the Department of Information, and then from there I joined with my late brother-in-law at Ford Motor Company. Then the war broke out. Then after the war, then I joined the Institute of, what is now known as Institute of Education, those days known as TTC, the TTC Training College. I was in a normal course, and there again, during my training years, I taught for a year or so at Gan Eng Seng School, and after I had completed my normal course, I went to several schools, two or three other schools. Then I went to teach at Pasir Panjang Secondary School. Well, that's as far as my education, my background is concerned. Anything else?
You mentioned that you were with the Singapore Volunteer Corps before the war.
Yes. I joined the Singapore Volunteer Corps in 1939 at the outbreak of the war in Europe. And I was posted to the 2nd Battalion Signal Section. And I served in that unit throughout until the end of the war, until the surrender of Singapore. When the British came back, and when they reorganized this volunteer force, I did not rejoin. Right at the beginning when they reformed the corps, until about 2 years later. When I rejoined again, I started my training as a recruit all over again. Then within 1.5 years, I was put on this I was chosen or selected to go for the officer's course. And in 1953 or 52, I was commissioned as an officer. Then I was posted to a transport company. I carried on volunteering as a volunteer officer. Then in 1965, I was mobilized as one of the volunteer officers mobilized to start the present SAF, to help to form the present SAF. I served as a mobilized officer for about 7.5 years. Then I was posted back to, at the end of it, I was posted back to the Ministry of Education. Then from there I retired in 1974.
Initially, what made you decided to join the volunteer force?
Well, of course, see, in those days, we are talking of pre-war days, and you see, the pre-war volunteers, especially among the Chinese, more popular with the English educated Chinese, the section of the Chinese. And I happened to join together, with my late cousin and uncle. The three of us joined about the same time, three of us joined together, although we were not in the same unit. Two of them did not survive the war. I was the only one. I was the only lucky one. Is my voice too low?
You mentioned that you joined the volunteer force at the outbreak of the European War in
1939. Yes, 1939 it was.
Did that outbreak of war there influence your decision to join
the war? More or less. Yes, I would say so. Yes.
What was the impact of that European war in among the local population in Singapore?
Well, if I can remember, there wasn't much impact, simply because, the war was taking place far away in Europe, you see. At that time, the nearest theater of war was somewhere in China, with the Japanese, going on, bashing at China. And perhaps there was this idea of the Japanese threat. And that was about all. I mean, in general, I would say that, we were not unduly worried. We were not unduly worried by this outbreak of war in Europe.
What did you do as a member of the signal section of the 2nd Battalion?
Well, you see, the setup of course, In any setup, there must be, you know, this communication is most very, very important. You know? And you see, this is where we come in. We supply the line of communication. See, we used to set up telephone lines, put up what then was, you know, those days, the beginning of this radio, wireless communication. But mainly we down our level, down at all level, a battalion basis, we depend more on communication, more on telephone. And of course those days we didn't have this radio, telephone, no such thing as that. We had a very basic wireless communication, maybe, and the radius was very poor. Not only the radius was very poor, the reception too, very bad. But mainly we supply the communication line of messages, you know, sending messages through telephone or through dispatch riders, these on motorcycles, from the front line to the rear battalion headquarters, from the battalion headquarters to the behind the brigade headquarters, and so on.
Was the entire signal section attached to the headquarters of the battalion or to a different company?
Well, you see, there was what we call a platoon of signalers. At the battalion level, there would be a platoon of signalers, and which would consist around about 30 men. And from the battalion headquarters, we sent out signalers also to three men or so to the company headquarters. You see?
These members come from the platoon?
Yes, from the same platoon, the signal platoon, what they call the signal platoon. See, normally about a couple of men, two to three men, at the company level headquarters. Then at company head level, from there back to the battalion headquarters. From the battalion headquarters, there you have more men, of course. And from battalion headquarters to the rear, to the brigade headquarters, you know, the bigger setup and so on.
So during this period when you joined, before the war broke out in Singapore itself, what were the things that you were doing as part of this group? For instance, what kind of training did you go through?
As a soldier, I mean, every one of us, first and foremost, no matter whether we are a signaler or an infantryman or an artilleryman, you know, gunners, they call them in those days. The first basic, of course, even now, all of us have to undergo the basic training on weapons and the basic field craft and so on, you know, which an average soldier should know, how to make use of the ground, how to make use of basic weapons. Because how to shoot. See, the basic training must be there. Every soldier must go through that.
So for the 30 odd.
And then from there we go on to the specialized training. If you're a signaler, you learn all about signaling, and so on.
So all in all, in the 2nd Battalion, there were only about 30 signalers.
Yes, about 30 of us in the signal, what you call signal platoon.
What about the first battalion? Were there any?
The same setup. The same. Every battalion. You see, every battalion would have the same setup.
During this time, did all of you expect to be involved in a real war in Singapore?
A big man.
During this time, when you were with the volunteer force, did you expect to be involved in a real war in Singapore itself?
Well, of course, when we joined up, every one of us who joined up at that time, well, of course, we expected in the sense that if there should be a war, we would get ourselves involved. But whether we expected the war to come down to Singapore, that would be another thing. Well, not during the early years. Earlier years, let's say 1939, that was a bit too early for us to think that we would be involved, or that to think that the war would eventually come to Singapore. That would be a bit too early for us to. But as months went by, as the Japanese became more aggressive, we did think that we might eventually get ourselves involved. You know, whatever could be said of the British, you know, of their incompetence, but there was much of this preparation to it. Only thing, their preparation was done in the wrong way, I suppose. You know what I mean? But there was much of this preparation to meet the threat. So there was this expectation.
Preparations in what areas?
Preparation, you know, where defense of Singapore is concerned. You see, they expected the Japanese to come down.
Could you tell us how did the British go about preparing the defense of Singapore to meet the threat?
Certainly, I think the garrison down here considerably increased the strength. There was much troop movement. That's one indication of it. And there was this building of pillboxes all over the defense, beach defenses, and building of pillboxes and gun emplacements, and all these are indications of, you know, of the expectation. Otherwise, they wouldn't spend so much money on the. And they are really strong thing, you know. I mean, they're really very, very strong fortification. Then these gun emplacement or the strategic, what they expected to be strategic places.
At about the time when they were building up their defences, did the British also prepare the local people psychologically?
If I remember rightly, then there was this also the civil defence. They started to build up the civil defence. Yes, there was this. I suppose if you, there must be something in the library for you to read up on all that. Where the details, I won't be able to remember. But if you, I suppose there must be something in the books or literature, you know, in the library for you to go through, especially the old newspapers, the State Times archives are probably, you can see. Yeah, well, there was this, just before, especially the months before the, the months before, before the war came, broke out, came here.
Did the local people take all this seriously? Did the local people take all this kind of preparation seriously? I mean, did they really prepare for a war, if any?
Well, I really... I suppose they did go into it, but I don't. But I would say that they were not really. They didn't really, really expect the war to come down. You know, they, just like the British, they had that much of confidence that the Japanese wouldn't come down so far. So at least the war wouldn't reach as far as Singapore. It didn't. Japanese advance won't reach as far as Singapore. You know, I wouldn't say that there's an air of complacency, but they didn't really expect the war to come down to Singapore. We didn't really did. We thought that just like the British, you know, I think the local population had that much trust. In. Anyway, we didn't know much about it. And all we could do was to trust the British. You know, they did all the preparation. I mean, we merely follow them only. Just did what they tell us to do.
Nearing the outbreak of war in Singapore, were the volunteers mobilized?
Oh yes, yes, we were mobilized. Yes, we were mobilized.
Could you remember when were you mobilized?
We were mobilized, I think, 2 weeks before, a month before, I'm not very sure about that, I think around about a month before the war broke out, before the December 8th, I think a month or 3 weeks before, I'm not very, very sure, but I won't know.
How did all of you feel when you were mobilized?
Well, we were quite calm about it. Maybe I would say that we became frantic. Or we were quite calm about it. I mean, most of you wanted, we were quite calm about it. I don't think there was any, you know, any, not that I heard of. An expression of fear or anything.
What did all of you do when you were mobilized?
No, we were sent up to our respective defense posts. Like the 2nd Battalion, they had already worked out, of course, all this had been worked out. A certain unit to defend this certain sector, another unit, another sector, and so on, you see. We were sent out there. So we man our sectors.
Where were you sent to?
Our 2nd Battalion were to defend the L Beach L Beach and L Beach, what is known as L Beach, we call it L Beach, the sector known as L Beach. Yes.
Where was that?
That is the sector from, I believe from Tanjung Rhu, I think. I'm not very sure. Again, see, this is the, this, what we're talking about. I think from Tanjung Rhu. Tanjung Rhu right up to, you know, to seafront, Tanjung Rhu. I think so, Tanjung Rhu. Right up to the harbor area. Just where the present Jardin Step is, I'm not sure. No, you know that Jardin Step. I think that's around about that. Up to Jardin Step. Jardin Step. Yeah? That's our sector covering the seafront. It was covering the seafront.
So the entire 2nd Battalion was to mend that, the stretch of beach?
That's right. That's right. Defense of that inn.
So for yourself, which section of that beach were you sent to?
Now, at the beginning, I was at the, I was at the L Beach headquarters, L Beach headquarters at Ocean Building, Ocean Building, Ocean Building.
Was the whole platoon of signalers there?
No. Because the battalion headquarters, that was company headquarters. Sorry, that was not the battalion headquarters. That was the company headquarters. The battalion headquarters was at the back. I think at that, the battalion headquarters was behind. I'm not very sure where it was. Somewhere in along Hill Street. I think it was at ACS Bill. ACS. You know the primary school there. I think. I'm not very sure. Please. I want this to be made clear. Huh? This is a recollection, and I can't vouch for its accuracy. Eh? This I must make this clear. This is all from memory, you know.
So when you were at the company headquarters at the Ocean Building, what were you doing there?
Well, we were manning the, see, we were manning the telephone lines, see, the telephone lines from the platoon headquarters to the company headquarters, from the company headquarters to the brigade headquarters. Battalion headquarters, sorry, battalion headquarters. From company to battalion headquarters, that's right.
Do you remember which company were you attached to?
E Chinese Company, known as E Chinese Company.
So during this period, what kind of news were passed on?
Oh, you see, all the communications, orders, communication would come down through telephone lines, through telephone mainly. Because as I've said, those days, there's no such thing. Radio, the radio came in later, and even that was very unsatisfactory. Very, very unsatisfactory. So mainly through telephone. So whatever observation we made, our soldiers made, they were post overlooking the seas. Whatever observation then would be passed on to the forward post, would pass on to the company headquarters, and the company headquarters would pass on back to the battalion headquarters. Then battalion headquarters orders, or again whatever might be enemy movements or our own troop movements, that must be made known to us, be passed down the line. You see, that's how.